Right, we're teaching on manifesting as sons of God. We're teaching also on this whole idea of vengeance and recompense. And we're in number 20, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. All right, now last time we met, we were talking about this idea of manifesting as sons of God. We're relating it to this idea of vengeance and recompense. We said vengeance has nothing to do with hatred and getting mad at somebody, retaliation against somebody. But it's something that proceeds out of a love of justice, and it's necessary for punishing offenders. And we said recompense has to do with payback. It has to do with something that was levied as a result of some act that was done, and it has to do with paying damages. So these two we found out over in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 30. He said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and I will recompense. So the Lord doesn't want us to take vengeance. We use Moses as an example of how he saw an Egyptian beating a Jew, and Moses was coming alive now to his calling. And he took vengeance. He killed the Egyptian, and he hit him. And so next thing you know, Pharaoh found out about it. Well, it wasn't the two people there. It was Moses, the Jew, and the Egyptian. The Egyptian was dead. So it was a house Jew that went back and told him about that. So as a result of that, I'm just saying the word got back to him. That's all I'm saying. And so as a result of that, Pharaoh is going to kill Moses. So what did Moses do? Moses left town. Moses went out and went on the backside of the mountain and stayed there. Why? He was afraid for his life. Now, with that, now God is calling Moses to come back down 40 years later or so and deliver the children of Israel. Bring them out of there. Bring them out of bondage. So what does he do? He tells God he can't talk, all these excuses. So God then demonstrates himself. He had Moses to put his hand in his bosom, pull it out, and it was leprous. He had him put it back in, pull it out again, it was clean. He had him throw his rod on the ground, turn into a snake. And then he tell him, pick it up by the tail, and so forth. Now, what we said about that is that when you understand vengeance, it significantly alters your attitude and your behavior when you understand it. Now, Moses is going to have to go back down there, and God is telling him to go back and get Israel out of there. But Moses now can't go back down there with an army. He's going to have to go back down there with a stick and Aaron. And so what we did is we picked up from there because I wanted to go and show you how Satan is a negotiator and he comes to negotiate. So let's go back to Exodus chapter 3 very quickly. Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. And this is what we kind of use as our jump off place for last time. In Exodus chapter 3, look at verse 19. And I'm sure the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. I told you the word mighty hand there, I really believe, has to do with a natural strength, natural army, natural abilities. I'm sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, not by any natural ability. And look what he said in verse 20, Exodus 3 and verse 20. And I'll stretch out my hand and smite the Egyptian with all my wonders, which I do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. And I'll give this people favor, say favor, in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when you go, you shall not go empty. So what we said is redemption is not complete without divine provision. And verse 22, and every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house, jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment, or clothing. And you shall put them on your sons and upon your daughters, and you shall do what to the Egyptians? Spoil the Egyptians. All right, praise God. Now, as we look at this, The job that we have as the church in these last days is to expand the kingdom of God. That we're going to places now that are out of line with kingdom culture, without a line with the laws of heaven, without a line with the principles of God, out of line with the justice that is in heaven, just out of line. And our job is to bring it back in line. Now, understand, it's out of line because the enemy has been running it. Remember what we said about the Babylonian system. It's a society that tries to exist without God. In other words, they're trying to take God out of the schools, trying to take God out of business, trying to take God out of politics, trying to take God out of everything. Why? Because it has no moral compass then. It has no conscience. It can get away with stuff that normally can't get away with. And so now what we're to do as representatives of God is to go into places and put God back in there. Now, as we do this, there's going to be some resistance because the enemy cannot run his system in darkness if you come with the light. He can't do that. So we've got to do that. So now, as this is happening with us, that we're going into these places, and what we said is that Jesus talked about us and how we are made like him and what our responsibilities are in this earth. Let's go to John's gospel. And John, no. Wait, before you turn, put something right there because I'm coming all the way back. Let's go to John's gospel in John chapter 17, please, in the New Testament. John chapter 17. There's a table of contents, by the way, in the beginning of the Bible. If you're new, no, wait a minute. People are new, really. I mean, you've been in here a while, so you've been, but there are people who are still learning the Bible. Look at John chapter 17, please. Mm-hmm. John chapter 17. Look what it says in verse 14. It's on the board if you want to look there. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Okay, so he's telling you right there, everybody's not going to like you. Do I have to say that again? Okay. Verse 15. I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the what? Evil that's in the world. All right? So he's not praying that you leave here. Verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. All right? Now, what we said about that is boundaries. That the enemy's job in our lives is to put boundaries in our lives. In other words, he's trying to put limits on us. In other words, he knows he couldn't stop you from getting born again. So you got born again. But now he's trying to stop us from being effective. So he'll try to put boundaries in our lives. What are those? Invisible fences. These are things that hold us back that many times, because we didn't know that the boundaries were from in, we thought they were from the outside. Oh, he's doing that. He's prejudiced. He doesn't like me. Or she doesn't, so forth and so on. And we thought it was from the outside. It wasn't from the outside. That if God be for you, there can be any man that can stand against you. It doesn't make any difference who they are. It doesn't make any difference what government it is. It doesn't make what storm system it is. It makes no difference. Nobody can stand against you. So the boundary is not on the outside. For a believer, the boundary is on the inside. And so what he's saying here is that he said, I've given them my word, and the world has hated them because they're not of the world. He said, they are not of the world. In other words, another way of saying that is that they are not defined by this world's boundaries. So you are not defined by this world's boundaries. And your boundaries are on the inside. And for the most part, boundaries are self-induced. Hello. Boundaries. Now, I know folk don't like to hear that because they got to point the finger at somebody. You know what I mean? But remember, let's take a couple examples so you get there. Remember the children of Israel? Here they were to go out of Egypt through the wilderness into Canaan. Am I right about it? But they got into the wilderness and went and spied out the land and came back, 12 spies, and 10 of them preached the fact that there were giants in the land, they couldn't take it, the walls are very great, so forth and so on, and the people wept all that night and cried and so forth. Two of them said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Well, they didn't believe the two, they believed the others. And a result of that, 3 million Jews didn't go in. Now, understand, God had to raise up another group. He had to wait on the children and raise up another group and take them in with the two that said, we can do it. So your mouth has got a lot to do with where you go. You know, and I heard a man say something, and boy, I tell you, this thing, it was so strong till I want to share it with you. He said, if you can't see a future, you won't have a future. Boy, that is a strong comment. If you have no vision, you can't see a future, you won't have a future. So I'm saying now that the enemy's coming in and trying to establish boundaries in our life and tell us how far we can go, what we can do, what we can have, and how and what we can be. So let's go back to Proverbs chapter 4. In Proverbs chapter 4, we saw here where the boundaries are. And if you look at Proverbs chapter 4, and Proverbs chapter 4, looking at it at verse 23, Proverbs 4 and verse 23, he said this. He said, keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now, keep thine heart. What is the heart? The heart is not the blood pump he's talking about. He's talking about your spirit, which contains your subconscious mind. He says, keep it, guard it with all your heart, because out of this are going to come the issues of your life. Out of this is how far you're going to go. You know, you can program it. This man did an experiment, and I've talked about it before. I think I talk about it in my book. But here's a piranha fish, and the piranha fish will eat, you know, things that people would put in there. If you put your hand in there, they'll attack that and eat that. But what happened was, this man was performing the experiment, and he took the fish tank, put the piranha in one side and small fish in the other, and put a divider there. The piranha got hungry and went for the fish, but it kept hitting this plastic divider and kept hitting this plastic divider to the point that after 30 days, they removed the divider. The question is, would the piranha now eat the fish? And the answer is no, it wouldn't, because inside it are the boundaries. The boundaries in his inside, in his whatever mind the piranha has, told him that he couldn't get to them, even though they were swimming around it. So even though opportunities are swimming around you, if you've been told that you're this and you're disenfranchised and you're, you know, whatever other names they put on you, and that you can't do this and you can't do that, even though these opportunities are swimming around you, you'll never partake of them. And that is an absolute fact. And then you'll blame everybody else for the condition that you're in right now. Say amen to this. Now, I'm not saying that some things have not happened, some factors and so forth, that have happened to have certain groups of people be where they are. However, if you are a believer, you've been born again. You're under a whole new jurisdictional consideration. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, nobody can stop Bill Winston but Bill Winston. Nobody. I don't care who they are, what they got, how much money they got, and so forth. If God is having a destiny for me that I'm to fulfill, now nobody can stop me from reaching it but me. Say amen to that. So we took you to the scriptures. We showed you some things, how vengeance worked and so forth. And God says, now you are the apple of his eye. He said he will deal with anybody that even touches you. The king Abimelech got Abraham's wife, took her in the palace, because Abraham said something about she was his sister, and she said he was his brother. This is in Genesis chapter 20. And the next thing you know, God came to Abimelech in a dream. And this is what God said to him in a dream. Watch this. You are but a dead man. If you don't let that man's wife go, he is a prophet for me. And if you don't let him go, you're a dead man. Well, he jumped up sweating and everything, couldn't wait to get that girl out of the house. Now, my point to you is, God can deal with some folks who are trying to mess you up. And the thing of it is, it's because we haven't been taught vengeance. We've been victims. We have known that, hey, wait a minute. If I get in trouble, God is right there. The Holy Spirit, number one job, is to execute vengeance upon any of the enemies of God's people, and nothing shall escape him. I said, nothing shall escape him. The Holy Spirit, see, God doesn't have to go anywhere to be everywhere. God is in their bedroom right now. Say amen. God is on the golf course with them right now. Say amen to that. And my point to you, when they mess with you, they have touched the apple of God's eye. Apple means pupil. Try to put your finger in the pupil of somebody's eye and watch the lid shut on you. I'm saying God will shut on you if you try to mess with one of his people. Now, he's not doing that out of hatred. He's doing it out of love. Say amen to that. But he's going to protect his sheep. He's going to protect his lamb. He's going to make it so now that you and I are going to fulfill the calling that he has on our lives. No human comes into the earth without a calling. And God has put a calling on your life. And that calling is relative and relevant to a lot of people being blessed. So he's going to make sure that you get to your destiny. So you got him on every side. He's on your right. He's on your left. He's in front of you. He's got your back. If you just walk and don't be fearful of anybody, because fear will drop the head down. But by faith, say, the God that I serve, he will deliver me. That's where you go. So now, y'all got me preaching here. All right. Now, so boundaries are there, and they're mostly self-induced. It's what you think you couldn't do. And the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Booker T. Washington's favorite scripture, taught on it all the time. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Meaning that whatever you think is where you're going to end up. I didn't say you'll end up at the right place. I said you're going to end up what you think.
Yes, sir.
So we got to watch it because the enemy is trying to get us, and you got to renew your mind. I remember when somebody first told me that I could live without going into debt. I thought that was the most preposterous thing I've ever heard in my life. You know what I mean by preposterous.
Yes,
it means ignorant. I thought that was the craziest thing I'd ever heard of. I can live. I said, man, I got to buy a house. What am I going to do with that? Why? My mind wasn't renewed. Why? Because Satan had set those boundaries. Why? Because when I grew up in my house that I grew up in, we grew up revolving with Sears. We grew up, have you heard of a revolving account? Nothing against Sears. Thank God. You got a lot of people, you know, but I was sleeping on a bed that I owed on it. I mean, you know, mom and dad. I was wearing clothes that we were paying on time. Are you following? But wait a minute. It wasn't, don't blame Sears. They're just trying to make some stuff available. I'm saying that's what we were taught.
Right. Amen.
That's why it said, train up a child in the way that he should go. Look at the scripture before that. It has to do with debt.
Amen.
I'm just, listen, don't get condemned now. Don't get condemned. Yeah, well, I was just about to go buy me a car. Listen, just the next one. you know, after this one.
Yes, sir.
The only thing I'm saying is that's a boundary. Folks, that's a boundary. When I told you that story of me getting that gas that time, and I'm pumping that gas in my car, going there to pay for it, and the guy said, what pump you have? It's pump number 9. He said, that'll be $36. And I went in my pocket to get the money, and the guy beside me, $36! Woo-hoo! $36? Now, understand, that wasn't his pump, his car, his gas, his money. That wasn't nothing. But what happened? What happened now? Vicariously. Oh, Lord, that's a big word. Can I break it down? He saw himself paying that. And what happened with himself paying that? It pulled him across the fence of his comfort zone.
Yes, sir.
And once it did, the alarm went off. That's why he hollered like he did. 36! See, now when does it go off? When he goes back behind the fence. You got it? So all of a sudden, I'm telling you, we're going to raise $500,000 in 3 weeks. I mean, alarms went off all over the place, but I don't care. You just going to have to turn them off and get on with the program. Amen. See, that's because I'm trying to move your boundaries. Why? Because God didn't put it there. You're supposed to have a boundary that you can go rebuild Haiti with your money right now. I'm talking about put $1 billion down before you can shake a stick. So my point to you is there are some boundaries in our lives that God didn't put there that's got to be removed. And you got to get the Word of God to remove them. Say amen to that. And the Word of God is designed to kick down fences. It'll put that fence out of your life. If I had to come up and the man said, well, what pump do you have? I said, pump number 9. Okay, that'll be $5.22. Well, what do you think the man would have said next to me? Nothing. How about $10.40? Nothing. How about $14.45? Nothing. But when I hit $36, oh, see, there's a choke point in your life. And so when I say you can buy your car cash, oh, that's all. Girl, did you hear? You need to come out of that. Say amen to that. Amen. Folks, you can buy houses cash. Amen. Not one house. Houses. But see, it won't happen unless you just make up your mind, hey, I'm going to believe this. Now, I didn't mean to get all the way into this, but I got to. All right, let's go back to Exodus, please. Exodus chapter 8. Okay, so they're coming out of here, and the next thing you know, now Satan is a negotiator. All right. Satan is a negotiator. Now, his job is to negotiate with you because he couldn't stop you from being saved. But now he's trying to negotiate you out of some of the things that you should be receiving.
Right.
Are you following what I'm saying? And I'm saying this is what we want to go to right now.
Amen.
Because the church has been leaving some stuff on the negotiating table.
Come on now.
Say amen to this.
Amen.
So we have one in Exodus chapter 8. God's people. Now, it's a couple of things I want to show you out of this. In Exodus chapter 8, look at verse 28. Now, this is Moses sent down here to get these children of Israel out of slavery. Pharaoh's going to have to let them go. Now, watch what Pharaoh said. He said, I'm going to let them go. No, God said, Pharaoh is going to let them go, and they will spoil the Egyptians. Verse 28. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far away. Entreat for me. That means pray for me. Well, Moses ended up praying for him because we ain't mad at nobody. But notice how he negotiated. He said, now, listen, I'm going to let you go, but listen, don't go so far that I can't see you or whatever. Now, that's not the deal. And Moses has to turn this deal down. Now, I'm saying, well, let's look at another one. We looked at these last time, but I want to go further. He said here, he said in chapter 10, verse 24, and Pharaoh called to Moses and said, go ye and serve the Lord your God. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Don't take your livestock. And let your little ones also go with you. What did Moses say? Did Moses say he's going to have a deacon board meeting and check this out to see if you know? No, he didn't need to. He knew what God said. Now, I'm saying something to us that the enemy has tried to negotiate us out of this earth. This earth doesn't belong to Satan or his family. Now, I want you to get this, because this is key. This earth that you're in right now belongs to the Lord. And according to Romans chapter 8, you have been made a joint heir with him. That whatever he has inherited, you have inherited. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 115 and verse 16, the heavens, even the heavens of the Lord, but the earth has he given to the children of men. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21, all things are yours. I'm only telling you, wait a minute. The enemy is trying to negotiate us out of something here. He's trying to make us think that the whole earth doesn't belong to the kingdom. So he tells us, okay, you can have Bibles in schools, but they have to be private schools. Now, am I right about it? And that is not the deal. The deal is, hold it. We own the whole earth. You can't tell us to go in this little corner and have our little Bible study, and then, devil, you take all of this. Well, that's what happened. We went to the negotiating table and gave over these bunch of kids. And now the enemy has gotten them. They're in violence. They're in gangs. Put them in jail. Put a metal detector in the schools. The teachers can't teach. The so forth and so on. Why? Because somebody gave it over. Somebody sat at the table and negotiated that thing. Now, he told Joshua something. Go to Joshua chapter 1, please. Devil is a liar. You see, it's easy to sit up in here and say, praise the Lord. But what about standing up and facing the music? Facing all this mess that's going on out here today. Wait a minute. Knowing that nothing can touch you. Because when Moses thought Pharaoh could kill him, he ran. But when God showed him, hey, vengeance is mine. Will recompense. Can't nobody touch you unless I say so. Matter of fact, Pharaoh can't even think about touching you. As many times as Moses went down to Egypt and told and pointed his finger in Pharaoh's face, said, let my people go, Pharaoh not one time called the guys in, say, arrest him, put him in jail, persecute him, whatever. Not one time did he touch him. Why? He couldn't even think like that. Can control a heathen's thoughts. And he has made it so in his word. He said, I'm Lord over the heathen. Say amen to that. God is in all kinds of systems. I remember one person in this ministry. They were going to buy a car, and they went down there to buy the car. And once they got down there, sat down, the guy, they picked out the car. The guy looked at it, because they've been hearing faith teaching. They looked at it and saw their credit was so bad. He said, look, we can't do anything for you right now. And the Spirit of God said to the guy, get up, get your wife, go and march on the car 7 times. And he got up, just obeyed God, and went out on the showroom floor. Now, everybody's sitting in there, and he started, he and his wife, marching around that car. Come on, it don't make sense, but it's going to make faith. And he marched around that car, and then sat down again and said, God said, tell him to check it again. He said, could you check it again? He said, we just looked at it. He said, no, sir, could you just look at it again? He said, well, if you say so, I'll look at it and... Wait a minute, I must have put the wrong thing in here. God had erased every bit of that. He can go into the computer. He can go all the way fix it in a day. Now, I'm just saying, I know that we want to get good credit, so forth and so on. But there are some ways that the enemy has used a fact that we didn't know some stuff and put us in the bad situation that we're in. God kept records of it. It's called recompense. He's going to reverse what the devil did and make him pay you for every time you've been humiliated. Man, this has got to be preached. Say amen to this. That's where I'm going. I'm going into manifesting the sons of God. You are the chosen generation. Say amen, amen. I'm telling you, this is a time to shout and praise God because God has kept some records. We need that money because we're going to get this earth back in order. Say amen to that. We cannot stop until we see the manifestation of the sons of God, until we see the word become flesh. God said, my word will not return to me void, but it shall prosper in the thing wherein I sent it. So that means where he said the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just, Jesus is not going to be around here until that scripture manifested, where he said in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 31 that God will recompense us in this earth. That means every pair, every damage, everything that the enemy has humiliated you in, stolen from you, absconded from you, scammed from you, cheated you out of, it's got to come back. I'm telling you right now, God needs the wealth, because with the wealth, we're going to fulfill the call that God has on our lives for this generation. We need to have the wealth. It is our responsibility to get people saved, and we're going to save them and finish the job because we are the chosen generation. Saints of God, and favor is powerful. I said favor ain't fair. Favor can turn a slave into a master in 24 hours. Favor can make you go from poverty to riches in 24 hours. I'm talking about favor will change your credit report on every credit system in the world. And we're done. Let's go sit down. Let's go to Joshua chapter 13. Joshua chapter 13. I can feel some faith in here now. I told you Joshua chapter 1, I forgot to read you that. He said, be of good courage. He said, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. Pharaoh couldn't touch Moses, couldn't even say nothing mean to him. That's the way God's going to be with you. Isn't this powerful stuff? Look at Joshua chapter 13, verse 1. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years. But watch this. And there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Folks, I know the body of Christ has been here for a while, but there remaineth quite a bit of land that we're going to have to possess. Say amen to that. Let's go over to Luke chapter 18 and we're done. Ah, Lord, my Lord. Y'all had me preaching that one right there. This must be the Spirit of God. Luke chapter 18. Folks, it doesn't require centuries to do what we're going to do, because we're going to override time. The vengeance of God covers every kind of attack against you and your family. You have just become impervious. Impervious. That means incapable of becoming injured or impaired. You have just become impervious. You see, the justice system of the world is the one of the main targets of demonic abuse. The justice system. And we're coming up against it now. Verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end. This is Jesus talking to his disciples and to the people who listened. That men ought to always pray and not to faint. And I've used this before and I've taught it on prayer. But let's go further. Saying, there is a city, in a city, a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded a man. And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. I understand she's come before a wicked judge, and there are some wicked judges. I understand there's some good judges, but there are some judges that are being used by the enemy. Verse 4, and he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not the God of not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them when? Speedily. You see, there was an unjust judge. And this particular judge was not a good judge, not an honest judge, not a judge to judge righteously. But this woman knew her rights. And she said, wait a minute, something gonna have to give here. And she said, avenge me of mine adversary. Now understand, she's calling for justice. And I want you to see something here, that when you say avenge, God not only hears stop the attack, stop the harassment, and stop afflicting and humiliating my people, but God hears this, he's gonna make somebody pay the damages for what was done. Say amen to that. Now, we're gonna talk about that some next time, but I'm here to tell you, you got something coming in. You see, he said, I want you to spoil his house. Now, we're not against people, but it's the devil behind it. And we're going to spoil his house because the thief is the one we're after. I got to turn to this. Come on over to Proverbs chapter 6. Let's just go out there. Proverbs chapter 6. Oh, yeah. I said, oh, yeah. Proverbs chapter 6. Don't have it. Look on the board, because I got to go. He says this. Verse 30. Men do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his soul when he's hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore how much? Sevenfold. And he shall give what? All. When God hears the word avenge, he hears payback. That the damages are going to have to be paid. So I'm saying, don't get comfortable in just being saved. Understand that, wait a minute, I got a house, I got two cars and so forth. Oh, well, don't get comfortable. There's much more that you're supposed to have. Give the Lord a praise.